Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Can't wait to see what happened last week. Get Jared's rundown. What were y'all doing? What did y'all do all week, Jared?
We managed. That's what we did.
So we'll talk about that. Obviously hit the Masters before Jim comes on at 9:30, as it is Monday. Jim Traber will be with us at 9:30. Sure, he has some thoughts about Augusta National. I want to ask him about the tragedy that hit on Saturday with the Steelers and Dwayne Haskins. Mm. Kind of the way, you know, that it's one of those things that you never see coming, and it's always an awful thing that happens, and it happens probably far too often. So I ask him about that. The Masters, the Thunder, season's over. They're officially fourth worst. And, you know, I've got a lot of questions about the NBA and the tanking process. And kind of, I mean, what are the rules? I don't think there are any rules. I think there's things that have to change. Look at what Houston's done. 2 years in a row with the worst record. And this year they didn't play a healthy player. John Wall never stepped foot on the floor. Why? How is that possible? So anyway, I just got a lot of things kind of going through my mind as the Thunder season ends, and now we wait for the 17th of May in the draft lottery. So that's what's on my mind. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. Going to be outside the listening area. You can still stay in touch with the show live on KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has it all. It's got the three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, everything right there at your fingertips on that Paragon Communications app. It's free. Just download it to your phone and you can follow us all along. Also, Skinny on Sports podcast is available on KADSAM.com or iTunes, and you can catch it there if you missed the show entirely. Hello, Jared.
How are you? Welcome back.
I'm great.
How I was real nervous about today, I gotta tell you.
Why is that?
First day back after a beach vacation for you. I was like, well, I hope he's in a good mood. I hope he's like rejuvenated and not I know if it's me, I'm like, I'm bummed because I'm not on the beach anymore.
You know, my wife and I were talking
about
that. No
offense to this place, but you know how it is. You get off a vacation and you're back to work.
Yeah. 6:10 this morning.
Oh, yes.
Notice I was the only one answering that phone call or that text. I think we had a power surge.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah. So we probably need to, before we get Jim on the horn, reset this thing. But
good idea.
Yeah. So anyhow, it was a lot of fun. The place we stayed at was super nice, nicer than probably what I realized. Have you ever, this was the first for me. So when you would go, first off, you know, any of those vacations, usually they give you like a wristband or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
That says you could go anywhere you want.
Yeah, you belong at this resort.
That's right.
Yeah.
This one was your key to your room.
Okay.
Had a little circle. It was a wooden circle. Hmm. And you would just put it up against the door and it would open. Now, here was the amazing thing. So as you open the door, you know, like on the blinds, there's like the heavy blind and then like the lighter blind.
Yeah.
So the heavy ones, as you open the door, they open.
Oh,
all on their own.
Ooh, that's cool.
And the lights kind of come. There's some lights come on, and there's one of the settings for your lights was called Zen.
Oh.
So that was nice. That was pretty cool. I've never really seen that. And then, of course, I don't know. I love the raindrop shower head.
Yes. Yeah.
Raindrop showerhead. It was great. And
I can't stand that, by the way.
You can't?
No.
Oh, man. That was one of my favorite parts of the whole thing.
I have to have it.
Shooting right at you?
Oh, me. I can't have it. My wife loves it. We have this dual showerhead thing in our shower. She likes the one on top, you know, the one you're describing, and I like the one that's just – anyways. I can't stand it.
I love that.
People like now, it,
but
yeah.
It also had – it had that, or it had like the – you could hose yourself off or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a tricky setting to get it to turn on. It was like – it was almost like a Rubik's Cube kind of where it had three – squares.
Isn't that always the risk of using, like, going on vacation?
Absolutely.
Like, how do I get the water hot?
I will never I'll never forget, and I hate to admit this, but I was pretty simpleton as a kid. And so when the Ropers moved from Cheyenne to Elk for Gaylor to be the superintendent,
mm-hmm.
they built a house and all this. And so I remember for the first couple of times when I went over to Derek's, if we were showering, I'd never seen the pull the thing down to get the shower to go.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I could not for the life of me figure it out. So I would just run the water and, like, get it on me or whatever.
I was too embarrassed to ask.
And then finally I figured it out about the third or fourth time. Like, wait a minute. You just got to pull thing down.
That's good.
So you'd have to do, like, the middle of the three squares. If you turned it left, it was for the spray. If you turned it right, it was for the shower coming down. And then on the front, you had to start twisting it around to make it hot or cold.
Right.
It took a few tries to kind of get it zeroed in.
I got a funny story about frustrating water fixtures. I'll tell you at the break. I can't bring this one to air.
Okay.
Because my wife would kill me, but it's funny. It's really funny.
Sure enough, Drew's on the text line. The wristband keys are a game changer. He's 100% right, because you don't have to worry about having anything.
Yeah.
You just have your pool bag. They have towels. I mean, we would take the pool bag just to kind of have a couple bucks to tip or whatever when the ladies came by. It's amazing. I've never seen that, but it's a heck of a deal. So we did. You know, the resort was awesome. The food was good. The only complaint I would have is kind of an upcharge for the premium food, let's say ribeyes and that kind of thing.
Right.
So it was, but the rest of the food was so good that you didn't miss it.
Good.
We went over to the redneck way to say it would probably be Isla Majerus. I think it's actually Isla Majerus. Drew would know for sure. Anyway, it's a little island off the coast.
Okay.
And it drove golf cart around the whole thing. We spent most of a day there. It was cool. Really, really cool. Kind of experiencing more of the local flair. But we made sure and got back to the resort before the sun went down.
Yeah.
That was the one.
Thing. Yeah.
Anyway, no, it was great. It was relaxing.
Cool, man.
It was
good.
A cool place. So, I would recommend.
You would recommend
Oh, yeah. It was nice.
It got the skinny recommendation.
It was a nice place.
Very cool.
Very nice place.
I want to give a shout out to Drew, Nathan, and Mountain Man.
Mountain
Man sat in with me on Friday.
That's what I heard.
I have to have that. I said it last week. I absolutely hate leaving you by yourself, because I know when you're by yourself, that hour feels like two. So, and then I'm talking to these guys like, oh, I don't know anything about sports. It doesn't matter. I just need a wall to throw the ball off of, you know. I needed to come back, you know, and they did great. So,
yeah, Ryan Aber on Friday.
Yeah, it was a good interview, and he reached out to me and said, I'm willing to come on anytime. So I think when big OU stuff happens, you know, he's on the beat, so we can get him on. And he was a great interview and gave us great insight to what was a pretty big weekend for OU anyways. Both softball wasn't that big. They took care of business. But baseball, we'll talk to Jim about that. How heartbreaking was that if you're an OU fan on Saturday?
Man,
I stayed up, watched that, and I was enjoying it, then not enjoying it, all in a matter of an inning.
Yeah, I saw the score flash up, I think.
Friday night was fun, but then Saturday night happened.
Saturday night of Bedlam and the Sunday before might be games you look
crazy?
Back at and go –
well, that close to winning a series.
That's the difference.
Yeah,
and that's
it's
the difference
bullpen,
between
man.
Making the tournament
it's
and
the
not.
Bullpen. It's all starting pitching. Ryan said it. Starting pitching, awesome. But when they got to go to that bullpen.
A little bit shaky.
A little bit shaky, and that's what happened. Both, it was a mirror image almost of the Sunday afternoon game against Texas, and then that happened on Saturday night. How close you could be to clinching a series. They feel like OU's like right there, you know, is it Skip Johnson? I think they're right there, and I sat back, kind of reflected on it on Sunday after the walloping that they took. I didn't watch any of that. I watched Masters, obviously, but thinking, man, they do need to step it up in facilities because it's clear the product that they have, it's close. In facilities, if you don't think facilities matter, they do. Look at Obrate Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
That's a top 10 team for a reason. They've got players that are going to want to come there. And, you know, kudos to OSU. They like I said, the stadium's awesome. I'd love to hear from our winner, see how
How he liked the stadium.
How he liked that. I'd like to hear. I'm sure he's a listener, so I'm sure he might chime in. But my point is, OU needs – we've said it before, and we'll say it again over and over again, because by the time they get to the SEC and nothing's been done, and I'm not talking laying down turf, which they've done, or a coat of paint on some bleachers. I mean, they need to really step it up, not only just to compete with the arms race in the SEC, but to bring players in.
Yeah, I mean,
they got a coach, but they need the facilities.
Well, and they're selling series. I mean, that's how bad it is. They're selling it.
I thought about that. Is that because of everyone's
money?
Yeah, they lost a lot of money in the pandemic, and nobody's going. Nobody wants to go to. I mean, you'll get fans in seats if you have a nice facility to bring them to. But anyways, rant over.
Oh, they're way behind.
Love Bedlam baseball, though. It was fun regardless of the outcome. Those are always fun. And like I said it Friday, throw out the rankings, throw out the records. You're going to get a good show. You got them on 2 out of 3 games.
Yeah. OSU, 7 of the last 9 series they've won in Bedlam. Dominant.
Yep.
All right. We'll talk Masters next. It got interesting until it wasn't.
Yeah. Kind of how I felt going into Saturday night. I kind of sent that out. It's like, I don't know if Sunday's going to be much fun.
It got interesting, and then it wasn't. We'll be back.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said, we're people before property.
You get the opportunity to meet so many different people from different parts of the country. And so when they come in, I get the opportunity to visit with them, and I get to enjoy their background as well as help them with the property needs.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. It's a Western Oklahoma Realty Monday.
It is.
Western Oklahoma Realty Monday. Tyler and Robbie down there on 3rd Street. People before property is their motto. They're always involved in all the contests that we do. Probably what would be next? Maybe the PGA.
Yeah,
probably next PGA.
Maybe
it'll be May.
I'm excited about that.
Wonder what's going to happen. Wonder if LT Gray. He committed to the Open.
He did.
Did not commit to the PGA, although he said he's going to try to get there at Southern Hills in Tulsa. Let's talk Masters. Scottie Scheffler, man. I'll tell you what, he is on a heater, the likes of which we don't really see last this long. And the reason I say this long is because he's won 4 times since February, starting in February. He had never won before. And that's what's weird to me about how easily it appeared he handled yesterday. Mm-hmm. The guy had never won a tournament until Phoenix. And now he's won his 4th tournament and a first major, putting on the green jacket yesterday. But I think you got to go a little bit further back to where this all really started with him, and that's at the Ryder Cup. Go back to Wisconsin and the Ryder Cup.
Okay.
He was awesome there. Nobody really knew who he was, right? I mean, he was by no means a household name. He was on that team more of a young guy instead of some of the older guys that had so much scar tissue from the Ryder Cup. And that dude started there and has carried it over. And, you know, in golf, it always, the first time you accomplish whatever, it's always the hardest. You know, the first time you break 90, it's hard. And then once you do, it's like, oh, now I'm shooting 85 every time. And it goes down. You know, first time you break 80, first time you break par. It's all those things. And for him, it's like this has just opened up Pandora's box.
Right.
And he looks like he's never going to lose again. I mean, it's amazing how well he's playing and that it's lasted all the way back from the Ryder Cup. And he was in complete control yesterday. You know, maybe a little hiccup there on 10, but then Cam missed. You know, would have been an unbelievable par after Smith hit it way left off the tee, chipped it out, hit a great shot behind the hole, kind of fanned the putt, missed that one. So it remained, you know, a four-shot lead. Then he picked one up with the birdie on 11. Scheffler rolled in that par putt. That was huge for it not to be a two-shot lead standing on 12. And if it's just a two-shot lead standing on 12, I wonder if you see Cam take on 12 the way he did. Or if he kind of waits a little longer, maybe plays a little bit more conservatively, hits it more over the bunkers, try to two-putt from there. Because here's the truth. If Cam hits the green and Scheffler hits, I mean, he had a 9-iron 50 yards left on 12, almost up into the bushes, after seeing Smith hit it in the water. So where does that go if he's on the green? You know what I mean? I mean, that was just a brutal. That was the one kind of time where you thought, uh-oh, this is too much for him when he misses that far left with that small, you know, short of an iron. But to his credit, he got it up and down. Cam made a 6 on the par 3, and 12 claims another victim. And from there, it was just simply get it over the water, you know, on 13 and on 15, and that's it. And Scheffler was able to do it and ended up winning by 3. Just I thought it was a great performance. Kudos to his caddy, Ted Scott. I didn't realize that was his caddy until yesterday. You know who he is? Ted Scott.
I don't.
Ted Scott had to put up with Bubba for lots of years.
Oh, okay.
I mean, to the point where there was a hashtag pray for Ted on Twitter when Bubba would start playing bad. And so it's a heck of a win for Scottie Scheffler. And you, now you kind of start to wonder, and this seems to happen to all these younger guys that finally win or that do win a major. You know, like, okay, how many can he win? I don't know. But I know this. He's playing the best golf in the world. He was playing the best golf coming in, and he dominated the Masters field all week long.
Yeah, he's young, 25, and – That's always the question that comes up after someone, especially a first timer, wins the Masters. Is okay, he's a young guy, he's got a green jacket. That's almost the hardest mountain to climb because just the pressure alone, because of it is the Masters. But okay, I mean, he's going to be right up there, I think, competing right now. He's playing his prime golf, and I don't think that goes away just in one season. So I expect him right there in Tulsa. I expect him, you know, at the Open just to be, you know, competing. And he's going to be a name you're going to hear on Sunday, I think, for a while. He plays cool, calm, and collect golf. You know, he put himself in a great position going into Sunday because mentioned it going to the break. Saturday felt like, it's, you know, if it wasn't the Masters, I don't even know if I'd be watching on Sunday. This guy has such a good lead. He just has to, you know, par the course and he'd be okay. And you know, kudos to Rory making a push there. That was fun golf to watch. But kudos to Scottie Scheffler. I mean, only knock on his game was 4 putting on 18.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought, come on, man.
I was kind of hoping he missed that next one just to have a little bit more pressure on him.
Yeah,
like, oh, now we gotta start
that too. When he was walking up to the green, he's like, man, what if he just, you know, was it that just famously just tapped that ball all over the place? Who was that?
I mean, Scott Hoke years ago missed from like 18 inches to win.
Not that. I mean, it wasn't to win. It was just, it was a blow up hole on this guy. I forget who it was, but
I say Ernie Els had a. I was just thinking Ernie Els.
Ernie Els.
It was like
exactly
on. I think it was on number one, 8 years ago or something.
Yeah, like what are you doing?
He like five or six putted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when he missed the third putt, Scheffler, that is, I thought, are we doing this? And there, everyone started cheering on. I thought that was a kind of a cool scene.
I had to start thinking about it as he got to like his fourth putt. I was like, okay, how many more of these until it gets serious? You know, like, okay, that's just a double. Okay, he's still three ahead. All right, never mind. It's never going to get real serious.
No.
As he was doing that, but. It was a great performance by him. You mentioned Rory. I wonder, can a round like that kind of unlock Rory's ability in the coming years? You know, he's a guy, 2010, standing on the 10th tee with a four-shot lead, a la Scheffler yesterday. And he hit it into the cabins left that nobody even knew were there. And the meltdown begun right there, and he hasn't been able to kind of shake those demons since. Maybe yesterday gets Rory kind of back in the good graces of Augusta National, and then, you know, he will see him really play well and be able to complete the career Grand Slam at some point. That was awesome. He was just too far behind. That was the only negative about that was. He was so far behind that even 8-under didn't really put any heat on Scheffler. And as the day went along, as the front nine went along, he figured out pretty quick that Scheffler wasn't already backing up. And so at that point, it essentially took everybody out of the golf tournament except for Cam. He was the only one that was close enough to really make a charge. Mm-hmm. And he did until 12. And then he was done. And then it was over. You know, even with Rory shooting 8-under, the 7-under was posted, he was done. You know, if he can make birdie on 15 and maybe hit a better shot on 16 to get to 9, maybe that gets a little bit different. I mean, it would have been a course record. It was already the lowest round in the lowest final round ever. And so you can't expect a whole bunch more from that. But, you know, just if he would have been a little closer to put a little more heat on Scheffler, who knows. But the way Scheffler played, it didn't look like it bothered him at all, man.
No.
It ends up being a three-shot lead or a three-shot win because of what happened on 18. Essentially, it was a five-shot win. I mean, it's even more dominant than what the three-shot win will show. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Historically, it was more dominant than that because as soon as that ball went in the water on 12 for Cam, and then he hit the pitch over the green, walks off with six, as soon as that happened, the tournament was over.
Yeah.
And so kudos to Scheffler. It was an awesome weekend. Tiger-wise, man, I'm sure Jim is going to have some shots to take at him, which that's fine. But I will say this. Do you think this tournament will be remembered more for Scottie Scheffler winning or Tiger Woods making the cut?
Yeah. Immediately you'll say Scheffler. That's who, you know, I think once the, you know, once Tiger made the cut and then the round he had on Saturday, it was, you know, the writing was on the wall of him contending or not. But so that kind of lost its luster, for lack of a better term. I mean, it was still awesome to see. I think people are always going to remember, yeah, that Scheffler won it. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be talked about is, listen, I'm impressed he made the cut. I was impressed he played. And I think I said it on Thursday, maybe Wednesday. You know, if he makes the cut, I mean, that is awesome. You know, that's, you know, the story grows even more. And if he's actually contending by Sunday, oh my goodness, it'd be the biggest story, you know, and then if he were actually able to win it, that would have been huge. But kudos to him. I mean, he knew he had to, you know, you're not going to get stronger and back in contending form by sitting on the couch or on a treadmill or whatever you got. You know, he knew he had to play, and I was just actually really impressed. He made the cut, and he was able to walk four rounds of golf. Now, I think that played into the fact of how his performance went, and I think there's still some rehab to go. But that was just, for me, I mean, it was almost inspiring to see a guy who almost lost his leg come out and play the Masters and make the cut. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was. I think
over time it could grow into the story of this year's Masters.
Here's what I think: with 10 years from now, if we're sitting here talking, we're going to go, hey, who won that year Tiger came back?
True. Absolutely.
By the way, how good was that Texas team? Big Boss Man asking about Spieth and Scheffler on the same team. Bo Hostler was there with around that same time.
That's true.
They had an unbelievable team down there. Yep. They won a national title at Riviera 1 year. Crazy good. All right, we'll be back with Jim Trabert next.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said we're people before property.
You get the opportunity to meet so many different people from different parts of the country. And so when they come in, I get the opportunity to visit with them and I get to enjoy their background as well as help them with the property needs.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, joined now by the voice you'll hear at 2 o'clock, and maybe the hottest poker player on the planet. It's the ultimate Jim Trabert. Jim, how are you?
How you guys doing?
We're doing good. I think we had a power outage surge at some point overnight. It's kind of tinkering with some different things. But I was saying, we're going to talk to the hottest poker player on the planet. Once again, another good weekend for you at the tables.
I don't know what's going on, fellas. It is a wonderful feeling to run good, and that's what's happening right now. Yeah, I went down to Dallas and played in a tournament on Saturday, and 215 people. I finished second. By the way, that's my grandson yelling and screaming in the background, so sorry about that.
That's all right.
Finished second in the tournament. Great run again. Ended up winning $13,000. So I did tell Julie after it was over that I'm really happy that I'm not a professional poker player, because that's a tough life, man. Because the difference between me and the professional guy is that after you make that run, the next day you got to go back and play again because it's your job, you know. I get to come home and do radio and have a great life here and then just on the weekend go play poker, so. Yeah, it's really cool. It is so much fun to run good, guys. It really is, because I've run bad before, and it's really, really fun to see things happen good. And I mean, I've been playing good, but there's a lot of luck involved. I mean, a lot of luck. So, next Saturday, of course, it's Easter weekend. So next Saturday, I'm going to play another tournament, but I will be ready for the Easter festivities with the entire family.
That's awesome. Hey, early Saturday morning, your Steelers, just a tragic accident down in South Florida. Talk about what kind of your reaction was when you heard of Dwayne Haskins passing away.
Well, I was, you know, obviously shocked by it. I mean, it's a shame. 24 years old, you know, being killed like that. It's just a shame. I heard that. You know, I heard some things about him that, you know, he was trying to get his act together as far as, you know, that Washington let him go because it was just really immature, really didn't do the things he had to do. And I think under Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, he was changing a little bit. I don't know if he's ever going to play in the league. I don't think he was going to play this coming year, frankly. But, yeah, it's just sad, man. Whoever's team he's on, it's just sad to see a young kid like that be killed. So, prayers are out to his family and everything, because that's a bad deal.
Yeah, horrible deal. Yesterday, give us your thoughts on what you saw from the Masters, specifically Scottie Scheffler, and how good he has been, really dating back to the Ryder Cup last year.
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, this guy's on one of the greatest runs of all time. I mean, he's won 4 of 7 tournaments. That's just crazy. And, yeah, he is unbelievable, too, because every part of his game is solid. And the biggest part of the game that's solid is his mental aspect. I mean, he just kind of looks like he's strolling down the, in a park somewhere. But, he's a tremendous player. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how he continues. You know, got the PGA coming up next, of course, up there in Tulsa. So, this guy's the best player in the world. Simple. Now, the interesting thing is, guys, how long is he going to be the best player in the world? Because we keep seeing guys come along, you know, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, even Dustin Johnson. I know they're still Koepka. I mean, we got all these guys that come by and do amazing things, and then they don't go away, but suddenly they're not near as good. And I think that's the pressure of staying there. You know, they kept showing his wife, who I guess, you know, they've been high school sweethearts. I'm just hoping, since their high school sweethearts have been around a long time, that, you know, that doesn't mess with his game. Because it seems like a lot of these young players, when they start living their lives, you know, when they, like, get married or when they, you know, get a girlfriend. I mean, I remember back when Rory met that, remember, the tennis player, mm-hmm. and he traveled all over the world, and his game went down. So that's the hard part. That's the amazing thing about Tiger Woods, although obviously Tiger was not, like, real dedicated to his wife. He was doing a lot of things. But he concentrated through anything. I mean, golf was so important to him that he really didn't care about a lot of things. Now, I do think that he's trying to change now that he's older, you know, as far as with his children and things, but when he was younger, fellas, he didn't care about anything. It was about golf, golf, golf. And so anyway, if these young guys can do that, then maybe one of them are going to be great. But I'll tell you what, Scheffler is. He's got an amazing game. You know, they say how hard it is to play with a big lead. And, you know, he had a couple gaps here and there, but to shoot a one under on Sunday, nothing wrong with that. By the way, it should have been better, obviously. That last hole was a little bit of a debacle, but, you know, one under is impressive. And I think there's more coming. I really do.
You mentioned Tiger. What's your reaction to him, how he played? He made the cut. That step in the right direction for him and getting back into contention form?
Yeah, I said on Friday that, he won by just being out there. You know, I mean, I think that's the amazing part. All the psycho Tiger fans, including you guys, I'm talking about it. It's shocking to me what this guy is to people. I mean, you know, I told you he's standing on the first tee, and there's, like, people, like, sitting there with their mouth agape, just staring at the guy, you know, like literally, like, this is some idol that's come from the sky or something. It's crazy the way people think about this guy. I thought it was an impressive thing to make the cut. Hey, little dude, zip it up a little bit.
I love it. I love that.
He doesn't listen to me at all. Matter of fact, he's scared of me most of the time. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I will say this, and I sent it out on Instagram on Saturday. You know, for a guy like me that doesn't like Tiger Woods, it was kind of, you know, it was kind of interesting sitting there playing poker and watching Tiger Woods on Saturday just kind of implode on the greens and everything else. I mean, he slipped his wolf round and then he comes back and ties it the next day, which I kind of think is what a lot of people might have expected to happen on Thursday and Friday.
Right.
But I'll tell you this. He basically showed that he can beat things around him down. That's what he did. He beat it down. He showed that, yeah, I'm messed up, but I can make this cut. Because I think that he was hurting on Friday. Even when he was making the cut, I could see the last five or six holes that he was floundering around a little bit, guys. You could tell that he was tired and worn out, and you could see that his leg was kind of hurting him a little bit. So it's amazing what he got done. But I will tell you that it didn't bother me to see him implode on the weekend. I'm sorry. I got to tell you all the truth.
Well, do you think we'll see him implode at Southern Hills in Tulsa?
You know, the way he
sounded yesterday when he talked, it doesn't. I don't think he's going to play there, guys. I think his next tournament is going to be the Open, or the British Open, because it's at St. Andrews. And, you know, he said it's his favorite course in the world. So I think he's going to go over there.
I also think that, you know, with all due respect, the guy, I mean, I don't think he's ready to play this thing.
I really don't.
I mean, that's how good this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think that he was ready
physically to play this tournament. But he forced himself to do it. And
wait a minute. She's going to have to
take the little guy upstairs
because he is. You're getting too loud, boy.
But anyway, I don't think he was ready. And I think he knows that. I think he went out there and he said, I'm going to, you know, on adrenaline and great golf that he can play. That's what he did on Thursday and Friday. But I think after he knew that he was kind of, you know, probably not going to win the thing, I think Saturday and Sunday was really hard for him. So I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know if we're going to see him at the PGA.
I think that he's going to go to St. Andrews. I will tell you this, though. I know you guys probably heard this, but Scheffler says that Southern Hills is his favorite course in the world.
Yep. Yes, I read that this morning. What do you think? You know, Rory, starting in 2010, it looked like he had a four-shot lead on the 10th hole, and then he hit it over those cabins. And since then, he's kind of been a little bit, you know, it's like Augusta National has had his number. Can yesterday maybe unlock his love of that course again? And then the next couple years, do we see him put the green jacket on and complete that career grand slam?
Well, I promise you, a year from now, when everybody's breaking it down, they're going to say exactly what you just said.
Right.
They're going to say that last round, man, we really got the demons out of him, and I think he's going to win. Look, Rory McIlroy hadn't won anything in a long time. I mean, he's still a tremendous golfer. You know, he still finishes high in tournaments, but he's not winning anything, guys. He's not. You know, he's another one of those ones I talked about that, you know, he got me, and I'm happy that he's happy. I want him to be happy, but it just seems like he got married, and, you know, I don't know if he's working on his game as hard as he did before when he was younger. But there's a lot of these guys, fellas, that are kind of fading away. You know, it's nice. Yeah, he did. He finished second. But he played his best round. There was no pressure on him, right? Nothing.
Right.
You know, I mean, you go out there and you say, okay, let's go get it over. Then you start making a couple putts and you chip in. Then you think, wow, this could be a really exciting round. And it ends up being a great round. And you make a lot of money. But there was no pressure on him. I mean, can he do that if he was two out of the lead? I mean, we're not seeing it. So, he's a great golfer. I just don't know if he's ever going to get back to what we thought. You know, what happens is we put these dudes on pedestals when they play great, and then literally they can't stay on that pedestal. They can't do it, and he's one of them. I will say this, though. I'm really, really glad that the man who said that par at this course should be 67 is just falling apart. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I think the dude is a total jerk. I can't stand him. I can't stand the way he talks or acts or anything. And I'm sorry. I'm happy that he stunk it up. I really do. I'm happy. I hope it teaches him a lesson that maybe you shouldn't say stupid things like that about a course that people all over the world, I mean, they treasure. You know, he just looks like an idiot, total idiot. What's that mean? So that means, what did he shoot, 12 over?
Yeah, I think I saw he's like, and to his par, he's like 46 over or something like that.
Is that what it is?
It's something, I saw it yesterday when he got done. Somebody tweeted it out, just making fun of him, which absolutely,
well,
he deserves every bit of it.
Well, he was 22 over according to his par.
Okay.
57, that's 5. That's 10 on top of 12. But maybe the year before he did the same daggone thing,
yeah.
Right? I think so. That's probably the 47th in the 2 years since he said that stupid thing. But I'll tell you, it's awful interesting, dude. Fellas, he's trying to overpower courses and stuff. Guess what? It's not working.
No, he's...
It'll work on those stupid little courses like the one they play in Vegas and some of the other ones. But I'm telling you, it's not going to work on it. Like, if he comes to Southern Hills and tries to do it, and he's going to, we'll see. We'll see what happens when he starts getting behind those big, huge trees.
Yeah, and it seems like he's breaking. I mean, just in the short time that he's done this, he's already breaking down physically. It doesn't seem to be quite what he thought it was going to be.
Well, that's what happens when you do the things to your body that you are not supposed to do. And who knows? I know that they test on the tour, but who knows what he's found? He's a daggone scientist. You know, he's got friends that are scientists. I mean, who knows what he actually puts in his body? Because I'm telling you, more than likely, that wasn't all natural, the way he got that big that quick. But, you know, I mean, I saw a post that said, who was it? One of the players shot better than him, and he averaged 230 yards on his drivers. It was like an old player, an older player, you know, and he averaged 230 yards on his drive, and DeChambeau averaged 315 on his drive, and the dude beat him by like 3 strokes. So that should show him a little bit about how pounding at that bar is totally the answer.
Were you surprised at the fact that there was zero mention of Phil Mickelson all week?
That might have been on purpose, guys. Right?
Oh, I think it 100% was.
Yeah. I mean, I think the PGA Tour probably said to CBS, listen, we got a great relationship. You better be on our side. You know? I mean, seriously. Because remember something. CBS isn't an ESPN. They're not getting any money from Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson didn't give them, you know, not doing anything for them. But obviously they got big deals with the PGA Tour. Now, the Masters is not a PGA Tour event, but the Masters is right there. They're in bed together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it was totally on purpose. Matter of fact, I had it written in my notes here to talk about today. Skinny, you're better than I am, or quicker than I am, or early in the morning.
Early in the morning, yeah, that's
please,
right.
Please don't do that to him.
He's well, I mean, as much as the tour, we all know anybody that's – the Masters does whatever they want to. Augusta National, sure. That club does whatever. And I'm sure, you know, those guys probably even were a part of that conversation of, listen – we're not talking about Phil Mickelson, and that's that. It was kind of, you know, for a guy that's won three of them and has been a fixture for 25 years or whatever there in that tournament, it was really kind of odd to just not even, you know, none of the highlights were from him and his win. They did show the shot out of the trees yesterday on 13, the 1 year back in, 2006 or 2010. But... It was just kind of eerie how he was completely kind of wiped off the face of the coverage and over the weekend.
Well, he wanted to be able to use his likeness, and now they're just totally blowing him off. That's got to hurt him for sure. You know, got to hurt him for sure.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question. Since you guys are big old Tiger fans, Mike Greenberg says I think that he's definitely going to win a tournament on the tour. Do you guys agree with that?
No, not yet. Would I ever say he can't? No, I would never say he can't do anything. We've already seen that. But to sit there and guarantee that that guy can win, I don't know that you can guarantee that he can play again the way that he looked walking up the 18th yesterday and all the pain that you could tell he was in. I don't know how in the world somebody can say that with what we saw this weekend. Was it cool that he made the cut? Yes.
Yeah.
But he was not a part of any sort of contention even after Friday. I mean, going into Saturday, he was going to have to play a round that simply wasn't possible with the way that he is health wise.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, he said when I asked him, "You think you can win?" and he said, "I do." You know, he had no. I mean, let's face it. In retrospect, in hindsight, he had no chance to win.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I mean, everybody can get mad at me, but he really didn't have any chance to win. We didn't know that. And after the first 2 days, when he's sitting there at one under, you're thinking, that's, was it one over or one under?
One over after two? Yeah.
One over after the two round. Yeah. But after the first round, you know, where he shot one under, then he came out. You could see that he was early in the morning or afternoon there. He was kind of tight. And he went, bogey, par, bogey, 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 or whatever. And that was just a really tough deal for him. But he is, I mean, what he did was amazing. I'm not taking anything away from it. I can't believe that he actually played. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to ever say what I said last time, that he'll never win, you know, a major. But I don't know how people think that he's going to win after that. I mean, I just don't. And the other thing we forget about, he's 46 years old. I mean, if he was 28, then I might go, but he's 46. It's not like his body is, you know, like going to get a whole bunch better. I thought he looked great. I thought he looked in incredible shape. Obviously, he's been working his tail off. But I think maybe, guys, in hindsight, he probably shouldn't have played this thing. He should have probably tried to wait to play at St. Andrews. But, you know, how do you know that? I mean, he has a lot of confidence in himself, and he thought, hey, I think I can do this. I'm hitting good shots and everything. But that walking and the hills and everything just beat him up. You know, you could tell he was – you're right. When he was coming up 18, it was a labor. If he didn't have a bunch of people there cheering for him, he might have just gone home, you know?
I totally agree. And here's another thing. You mentioned the age. Think about last time he won. And the preparation that he had to do for his back. That gets completely lost in the conversation because he almost lost his leg. But the dude has chronic back issues to the point where his spine is fused. And so there's still that to deal with, not only or in addition to getting ready with the leg and being able to walk. So, I mean, his body is beat down to shreds, and it's hard to see.
And you're right. Let me tell you what your body does, too, guys. When you have something wrong with your body, the other parts of your body take over.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way your body is. You know, so if you have one leg that hurts, well, then the other leg, and then your body, and guess what? Then your back wants to take over. Well, his back can't take over. So I just can't imagine the pain. Like, I hope somebody does a 30 for 30 on this tournament that we just saw. I'd like to see some of his, how he got prepared, you know, how he felt back in January. The whole process of when he thought, man, I think I might be able to play in the Masters. You know, I'd like to see all the things they do. He keeps talking about his team. I would love to see what they do. I mean, I think that would be just incredibly fascinating. Like, when he has a 9 o'clock in the morning tee time, what time do they wake up to get his body ready?
Right.
You know? I mean, most people just have to eat breakfast and then go hit balls and then go play. What do they have to do? I mean, I can't imagine the amount of work that they're doing on this guy's body day in and day out. And then before a tee time, he went off early yesterday because he's old, you know, what time did they get up to do all that?
Yeah.
I hope that someday they let us in on all that, because I think that would be fascinating, don't you?
Yeah, it seems like, gosh, just with the back a couple years ago in 2019 when he won, of course, they teed off early on Saturday or on Sunday because there was supposed to be, you know, storms in the normal finishing time. And so they had early tee times, and it seemed like he was getting up like 4 and 5 hours before the round to start getting ready. And that was just his back. That had nothing to do. That was way before he almost lost a leg in a wreck. And it just, to be able to, the one thing that, you know, like him or hate him or whatever, the one thing you can never do is question his mental toughness. I mean, that he's one of the greatest of all time in that aspect, in any sport, of being able to play through the physical pain and still be to the level that he's been. It's fascinating to me as well, and it'd be cool to see just exactly what he has to do, not only to get ready to play, but how long does it take him to recover? You know, hours in the ice or whatever. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I'm with you. I would love to see about kind of peek behind the curtains of that to see what goes into it.
Well, he just has tremendous dedication. I mean, the guy is, I mean, he is, when he's going to go try to do something, he gets after it. And that part is really impressive.
I was really impressed with how he carried himself. I don't think I've ever seen him in his career acknowledge the fans and the gallery as much as he did this weekend. And I think that wreck kind of humbled him, you know what I mean?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Near death. Near amputation. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, Jared. I think there's no doubt that he was humbled. And he is different now. Which, you know, things in your life should change you that happen like that, and it has. So, I will say, I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but he got humbled a little bit on that course, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, I think that I think he really believed that he could win that. I mean, I think he told himself for months, I can win the Masters. Look at this. I can win the Masters. Look how I'm hitting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes out and plays with his son in that tournament, and everybody's like, wow, so you knew that. I'm sure he got so many messages from people that said, you look great, Tiger. Keep going, you know. So he convinced himself that he could go win. Like I said, in hindsight, he obviously had no chance to win that thing. But like you, I'm never going to say that. I mean, I was last week like, who knows? If anybody can do it, he could do it. But the weekend really showed that he might have come back a little bit early. Again, their Tiger fans are going to get mad at me for saying that, but I truly believe that he probably came back just a little bit early. But just to even come back and do what he did is absolutely incredible. I mean, he's in a 1 percentile in the world that could do what he did. I mean, he's amazing. He really is.
Yeah, for my own personal having tickets to, you know, Southern Hills. I was kind of hoping he was going to, especially after Saturday, I was kind of thinking, you know what, bud, take off Sunday and maybe get ready for the PGA, but that's just not in his nature, and it's just the way it goes, and I think you're right. I don't think he's playing in Tulsa. I think the next time we'll see him will be at St. Andrews, and guess what? The walk at St. Andrews is so much easier than what he just accomplished at Augusta National.
Well, Southern Hills, let me tell you something now.
Yeah.
I've played Southern Hills about five times. That's not a real easy walk. I didn't walk it. Of course, I was riding in a cart. But that's not an easy walk at Southern Hills, guys.
No.
You guys have been there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up 9 and 18 and 3. I mean, there's a bunch of those really tough walks up to the greens.
Absolutely, yeah. So, that's going to be another tough one. So, I don't blame him. I mean, look, we're all here. We want him to play. It's Oklahoma, I understand. But if I was him, I wouldn't play. I hate to say that. Southern Hills, I apologize. I'll say the same thing on the radio. I'll apologize to Southern Hills because I think it's one of my favorite it is one of my favorite courses that I've ever played. But I wouldn't play, guys. I wouldn't do it. Especially if I'm going to be anything like I was this weekend.
Right.
You know, you get out. Is that what we want? I'll just say this, okay, and this will be, Skinny, you may be really mad at me at saying this, but what he did was absolutely amazing, okay? But if he keeps playing like that and he keeps playing tournaments, it will get sad in a year or so.
Yeah.
It will. I mean, it's just, I'm not going to put him there with like Namath and Unitas and some of those guys because he made the cut. But if he goes, let's say he does go to St. Andrews and he doesn't make the cut, and then let's say next he tries to play in the U.S. Open and he drops off a big round there. You know, if he starts doing that, you know, major after major, there has to come a time where someone's going to have to go, Tiger, listen, dude, you know, you probably should just go ahead and, you know, stop. But he's not there. I mean, what he did was amazing. I'm just saying I hope he doesn't get to that.
Yeah, I mean, think about if Saturday and Sunday happened Thursday and Friday. Then the conversation's
right,
completely
exactly
different. And then, to your point, the coming back early is obvious. Even though he did make the cut, I still think it's obvious. His game was nowhere near – I mean, he's never, you know, three-putted five times in a round and all that. It just wasn't sharp enough to be anywhere near
36,
kind of what it was.
36 putts on Saturday, fellas.
Yeah.
36 putts.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to tell you, that's terrible for anybody. That's terrible for you and me. I mean, 36 putts is unbelievable. And some of the putts he missed were terrible. I mean, it was coming up way short and things like that. I mean, it was just, I don't know. I don't know if he lost his concentration. Let me tell you something. As a person with chronic pain, you know what it does? You lose concentration, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do on what you're doing. If there's a day that I'm really hurting, and I'm doing a radio show, sometimes, guys, I can't really figure out what I'm trying to do on the radio show. Now, you're probably going, oh, yeah, we hear that all the time. But seriously, it's not easy. So I mean, when you're concentrating on pain, it's hard to do what you're doing, especially trying to play the Masters.
Right.
So again, my thing is, I give it up to the guy. It's absolutely amazing what he did. But the weekend, although I will tell you, as I was playing poker Saturday, I kind of enjoyed watching him not play very well. But after watching Saturday and Sunday, it was a little bit sad. I thought it was a little bit sad. Amazing Thursday, Friday. A little bit sad Saturday, Sunday is what I would say.
Yeah, and I just hope it doesn't get to the point where he has to stick one of those little ball getters on the top end of his grip of his putter so he doesn't have to bend down and get the ball out of the hole like a bunch of the old dudes.
I think that's why it's illegal. That's got to be illegal.
Yeah, I would hope so. But
on the tour.
I see him every weekend out here. Real quick, what were your thoughts on the Bedlam Baseball Series?
I mean, great series, great games. I thought some of the baseball at times wasn't the best, but that's the way it goes nowadays. But OSU did what they had to do, man. They take two out of three. A great chance to sweep. But, of course, you know, OU comes back and wins on Friday, and OSU comes and wins on Saturday. If there's an OU fan out there saying, heck, we should have won on Saturday. You're right. That's true. Remember, I tell people there are only two things I'm biased about, OSU baseball and the Steelers. But I try to tell the truth, and OSU's really good right now, guys. They're the second betting favorite to win the national championship right now. Did you guys know that in Vegas?
No, I did not.
They're the second team to win. Tennessee is, what are they, like 30-1?
Yeah,
so,
Tennessee.
I mean, that's amazing. Yeah, they're
yeah,
really good.
They're good.
So, OSU doing what they have to do. And I give credit to OU, man. They're a nice team. They're a good team. They've been playing a really tough schedule. If they play well the rest of the Big 12, they got a great chance to be in the tournament. But OSU is rolling, and the number one key, I say it all the time, you got to be home. Like, they play Wichita State tomorrow night, you got to win. You got to win the game. You got to beat Wichita State, Oral Roberts, Kansas, Kansas State. Those are the teams you got to, you know. Dallas Baptist is pretty daggone good, but they beat them earlier. They play them later in the year. Beat them again. Then you get that home field, guys. And when you get that home field, that stadium will be rocking with about $8,000. That'll be crazy. I heard it was rocking this weekend.
Yeah, that's I heard that yesterday myself. Somebody that was there on Friday. Yeah, you wonder for OU. Gosh, that Saturday loss this week and then the Sunday meltdown last week against Texas, if they don't look back, if that kind of might be the difference in making the tournament and not.
The good thing is both of those teams are great.
Right.
So, you know, if you'd have done that against Kansas, then, you know, then it would be bad. But, you know, losing any way you lose to OSU or Texas, there's nothing to be, you know, hang your head about that. Now they got to go win. They played a tough beginning of the year, man. I mean, my gosh! But now, when they start playing the West Virginians and those kind of teams, you got to beat them. You got to win at least 2 out of 3 and get rolling.
Well,
they got a nice team.
Yeah.
You've got a nice team. This is what I think that OSU is really special, fellas. I do. I think they're really good, both on pitching and hitting.
Yeah, that OSU team looks poised for a run at Omaha. There's no doubt about that. And like you said, playing through that stadium on the way there only helps, because last thing you want to do is go to Arkansas or Mississippi State or any of that down there in the SEC and have to try to go in there and win 2 out of 3 in a super. That makes it a lot tougher to be able to stay there at home.
That's right. And the higher you're ranked, obviously, the better draw you get.
So, right.
I'm very excited. I'm cautiously optimistic about the run. It's time for OSU to get back to the daggone College Football Series, you know? I mean, that's, in my opinion, this will sound cocky, but that's where they belong. I mean, and I know that sounds like a ex-OSU baseball player, because I am. But, I mean, I went to the daggone World Series twice in a row to start off, and then we went, 6 more times in a row. And that's a long, long time ago, but it should be a great baseball program. They got great coaching. They got a great stadium. So they're rolling. I love it.
All right, man. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on to Monday. We'll be listening this afternoon.
All right, fellas. Thanks. See ya.
Yeah, see you later. That's the Ultimate Jim Traber joining us, as he does each and every Monday right here on the Skinny on Sports. It was a fun series. There's no doubt about it. Fun Bedlam. Bedlam baseball, like you said.
That's what it should be.
Yeah, it's always a good time.
It's always a good series. Throughout the record and rankings, you're always going to get a good one. But yeah, I was wondering, could that be the turning point for OSU? I mean, they're already a really good program. Does a win over your rival like that propel you to what we're talking about here? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, they got West Virginia coming up this weekend. Everybody have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.